God. Here we are. I'm teaching a series, The First Step to Your Greatest Successes in Life. And today my message is living from your spirit. Living from your spirit. I'm going to quickly recap. The first step to your greatest successes in life starts with learning to pray and live from an attitude that says, Father, not my will, not my way, your will and your way be done in my life. Listen, every one of us have gotten ourselves into a hole. Every one of us have messed things up. I have learned that the best way to live is to run all my decisions through the filter of God the Father. And I say, Dad, your will be done. This is what I would like, but I'm putting it in your lap. You tell me your will, your way. Amen. If we live from our spirit, we will naturally walk in the ways of the Spirit of God. Paul often says, you formerly walked according to the spirit of darkness. Demons influenced us and we didn't even realize it. They yanked on our attitudes. They yanked on information that was stuffed in our head that disagrees with the knowledge of God. Things that make us prejudiced, things that make us hateful, things that make us narky, things that make us overly anything that doesn't line up with God. And they pull on those things inside of us, from sexual behavior to social behavior. And they pull on those things that have been seeded into us, information, misinformation. Remember, the whole problem in the garden was that it wasn't enough that Adam and Eve had God's knowledge. They wanted the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good isn't always God's knowledge. Man is capable of good and he's capable of evil. Your spirit is only capable of doing the will of God. When they ate from that tree, they were actually saying, I'm not going to live from my spirit. I'm going to live from the realm of my soul and my body, which is capable of doing good and evil. Sometimes my good ideas, they're not always God ideas. How many of you know good ideas don't always turn out great? And good ideas are not always God ideas. And so even my good ideas, I bring them to the Father and say, Father, your will be done. You see around the corner, I don't. You see down the road, I don't. I'm about to go in a partnership with this guy. You see what's in his heart, I don't. Hello? And so praying, coming to a place of praying over everything. Father, your will and your way. I don't want to do your will and then do it my way and mess it all up. This is very important. And if we learn to adjust our mentality, our attitudes, and our decision making in life to always come from a vantage point of saying, Father, not my will, not my way, your way be done. I'm telling you, your life will increase in joy, your life will increase in happiness, your life will increase in blessing, because God's will for you is better than anything you could imagine. Amen. Jeremiah prophesied through the Holy Ghost. God was using Jeremiah's mouth, and he says, I know the plans I have for you, and they are plans for your success and not for your failure. Amen. Hello? Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching to me right now.
He's preaching to me right now.
All right. I want you to remember something in this series I taught you in recent weeks. Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Now, let's all be real. I expect every hand to go up. How many of you don't want to fall into temptation? All right, I get tempted. Hello? I get tempted. So put your hands up again. How many of you do not want to fall into temptation? He says, watch and pray. The spirit loves to pray. My soul doesn't. My body doesn't. Watch and pray. Why? That's already the first step to getting out of my soul and out of my body and into my spirit, which is always going to do the will of God. Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's an obstacle. It's a stumbling block. The word willing, the spirit is willing. The word willing, I taught you, is prothosmos or prothusmos, eager, ready, willing, prompt. Your spirit is predisposed to do the will of God, not your soul. In your soul is the mind of your intellect and the mind of your emotion. Everyone look at me. You all know, we all know, our mind of our intellect has been filled with a lot of garbage. And our mind of emotions has been filled with a lot of hurt. And if I reason out of those two things, sometimes I'll make a good decision, and sometimes I'll make a horrible decision. But my spirit isn't adulterated by anything in the world. And if I learn to follow my spirit, which will always follow the spirit of God, the spirit is willing, prothesmos, the spirit is always predisposed to do the will of God. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, God shut their spirit down, and your spirit doesn't get awakened until you get born again. It's like the Holy of Holies. It's reserved for God only. And so God shut it down. And where man became sinful was in his soul and in his physical body. Good preaching, right? We need to understand this stuff. Okay, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is predisposed to being in agreement with God. The Holy Spirit will never disagree with God. Never. It just can't happen. In the same way, your spirit will always be in agreement with God. God designed it that way. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to walk in the Spirit. It's interesting when Jesus said the Spirit is willing, in your Bible, it'll be a small s, not a capital S. Why? Whenever it's the Holy Spirit, it's capital S. Whenever it's the Spirit of God, it's capital S. Whenever he's talking about man's spirit, your spirit, it's little s. And he's saying the Spirit is always predisposed to do the will of God. The conflict we have is that we live out of the information in the mind of our intellect and our soul, and we live out of the information out of the mind of our emotions and everything we've experienced in life. And those two partners together make some crazy decisions. But when I live from my spirit, I will always follow the Spirit of God, because your spirit is designed to follow the Spirit of God. Amen. Our soul, which houses the mind of our intellect and the mind of our emotions, isn't always in agreement with our spirit. Likewise, our body has its own wants, and it has its own desires, and it's not always in agreement with my spirit. Here, quick survey. I asked you to fast on Wednesday night the last 2 weeks. How many of you had trouble fasting? I did, so don't be ashamed. I got tempted heaps of times to eat. Mm-hmm. That chocolate Oreo looked really good. That Cinnabon looked really good. Really, really good. All right? And you have to struggle. Do I or don't I? The body has its own desires and its own wants. It wants to eat. It wants fulfillment in sexual areas as well. And I must bring my body and my soul into submission to my spirit if I'm going to live a successful life. If you really want to enjoy the blessing of God on your life, it's not just God third hand pouring blessing on you. It's you bringing your life back into divine order. We were always meant to be first a spirit, then a soul, and then a body. This is just the case. Let me ask you something. How many of you ever bought shoes? You brought them home in a box? You ever bring shoes home in a box? How many of you ever took the shoes out of the box and put your feet in the boxes and wore those to work? You see, the box isn't the thing. The shoes are. Your body isn't the thing. Your spirit is. Hello? But we live out of the shoebox. We live out of our soul. We live out of our body, not out of our spirit, and we need to change that. And the more I learn to make spirit decisions instead of fleshly or carnal decisions, the sooner I will be in harmony with the kingdom of God. We get born again, we come into the kingdom of God, and people say, well, why aren't I being blessed? Because you live in a kingdom of divine order and you're living out of order. Live out of order with the Constitution of the United States of America and see if it goes well for you. Live out of order with the traffic laws. See if it goes well for you. Now look, I'm always really honest, so I'm going to be honest. I made a mistake the other day. I have a heavy foot. When I'm at the lights, I try to always be the first one at the lights because I want to leave everyone in my dust. And part of the reason is I think some people are crazy drivers, so I want to get away from them. And then as soon as I hit whatever the speed limit is or 7 miles above it because you won't get a ticket, then I just back off. I forgot to back off the other week. When you live contrary to the traffic laws, it won't go well. It will cost you. And when we don't flow in divine order in the kingdom of God, just because you're in the kingdom of God doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. You have to flow in divine order with the divine kingdom. Somebody give me an amen. Good practical preaching. Amen. All right. We will always be out of divine order until both our soul and our body is submissive to our spirit. Here, in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, I read this to you a couple of weeks ago. The child grew and became strong in spirit. Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. This is Jesus. He became strong in spirit. The word strong is krateo, and it means to prevail. One who prevails over his opposition, one who gains mastery, to attain mastery, the upper hand. So right there in the Greek, it's saying Jesus grew in stature, but he grew strong in his spirit. What does that mean? His spirit got the upper hand over his soul and over his body. Hello? Jesus didn't do what he did because he's God. Jesus did what he did because he was anointed by God. You're anointed by God too. Amen. But if we want to do the things that Jesus did more often, we got to do what Jesus did, and that is gain mastery in our spirit over our soul and our physical body. Hello? You see, if you live from your soul, you live from your body, there'll be little devils that'll pull you and pull your emotions, pull the thoughts in your mind of your intellect, pull the emotions in your mind of emotions from yesteryear, 10 years ago. Somebody says something, it triggers you from something that you went through when you were 10 or something that you went through when you were 21, and right away you're ready to react. And we're in the flesh, not in the spirit. Demons will work in the realm of your soul and in the realm of your body. They cannot work in the realm of your spirit. Amen. Your best life is living from your spirit. Your most blessed life is living from your spirit. Come on, if I'm saying good stuff, give the Lord a big hand. Come on. Jesus gained the upper hand in his spirit over his soul and his body. America needs a strong church. They may not know it. They might think we're wackos. They might think that we're the problem. But you and I are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. America needs the church of Jesus Christ to be on fire and to think like kingdom men and kingdom women. I am not just a citizen passing through, and the government doesn't owe me squat. I have everything I need from the kingdom of God, and I'm here to impart into the world of darkness. Come on. Every Christian should have this attitude. Stop sitting around waiting for the government to feed you. Understand our provision comes from heaven. Get your faith up so that you can stand up, so that you can face up to the enemy. That little phrase just came. I hope you taped it. I want to go back and write that down. We got to learn to live from our spirit. When we live from our spirit, we will always walk in agreement with the Spirit of God. This is so fundamental to our success, your success, my success. I've taken time throughout this series to highlight and explain the difference between the function of your spirit, your soul, and your body. I said in the very beginning, I'm going to explain who you are. I said that in the very beginning. I'm going to break you down. You're a trichotomy. You're a trinity in the image of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. I did that so that you could get this principle and understand so that you have a better, so that you can live from your spirit and not from your soul and not from your body. Okay, put this on the screen. Our greatest successes in life will come from submitting to God's will and God's way. And the key to getting there is to bring our soul and our body into agreement with our spirit. I keep saying our spirit, because your spirit is predisposed. That's God's property. It's like the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could go in there. A demon can't go in your spirit. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, God shut down their spirit. Spirit doesn't become awakened until you are born again. When we live from our spirit, it's a world of a difference. The key to getting there is to bring your soul and your body into agreement with our spirit. Our spirit will always be in agreement with God. The mind of my intellect, which is my soul, in my soul, has been filled with knowledge that is good and bad. But not all the good is good. Or shall I say, not all the good is God. The world runs on good ideas, but they're not God ideas. Hello? Any knowledge, good on you, sweetheart. That's okay. If she's making more noise than the adults, shame on the adults. If her amen, whether it sounds like an ah, is louder than everybody else's amen, put her on the platform so she shows everyone else how to do it. All right, here we go. Any knowledge, good or bad, that is contrary to God's knowledge is going to run interference and be a roadblock to us, and it will hinder us from living from our spirit. There are a lot of good ideas. A lot of good ideas are contrary to the principles of God. They might work in a crooked world. They don't work in the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? We copy a lot of things that are in the world. This is where the church gets messed up. We copy a lot of principles that are in the world. Jesus doesn't do stuff the way the world does. In the world, there's a set formula what a leader should look like and what a leader should do. Some of it lines up with the Word of God. Some of it doesn't. In the kingdom of God, if you can't be a servant, you're not a leader. In the world, if you have a bigger bark than everyone else and you're willing to keep yourself disciplined and Demand everyone else's discipline, you could be a leader. Doesn't matter if you crush people, there's someone else to employ. That's coming to an end. We're running out of employees, good ones. In the kingdom of God, every person is important. And so I can't be a leader at the expense of crushing you. It's different. So there might be good principles out there, but they're contrary to the principles of the kingdom of God. And too often we try to run the church on good principles that work in the world. But the world is crooked. It's a world that demons are in agreement with. Why would I solicit principles in the world that demons are okay with when I'm living and working from the kingdom of God? Come on, we got to get in a divine order. We got to let the word of God affect everything we've been taught. Not everything you taught in the world, while it works out there, it doesn't necessarily agree with God's heart. I don't want to be right with God just in principle. I want to be right with his heart. I want to be doing things the way his heart would. Come on, church. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Any knowledge, good or bad, that is contrary to God's knowledge is going to run interference and be a roadblock to us, hindering us from living from our spirit. That's why, next screen, that's why we have to repent. Repentance is not about emotion. Repentance is about a change of mind. Every one of us, starting with me, every one of us, we're not done needing a change of mind. There are still things in all of us, our attitudes have to be changed to kingdom mentality. Okay? All right. That's why I have to repent, have a change of mind, and renew all of my belief systems so that they line up with God's knowledge. The same is true for the mind of my emotions. Unless I bring every emotion and emotional response into agreement with the Word of God, it will hinder me from being submissive to my spirit. That's why in the Holy Ghost, there's the fruit of the Spirit. There's fruit in my soul that sometimes doesn't pair up with love or kindness or gentleness. We get rotten fruit in our soul. We've been kicked. We've been beat up. We've been rejected because of the color of our skin, because we're not smart enough, because we're not rich enough, because we're not hip enough, because we're not tall enough, because we're not Italian enough. 100% Italian. Means nothing. Listen, we get these emotional wounds and baggages, and unless I replace the mind of my emotions with the fruit of the Spirit, if I live out of my soul, the demons can pick on any one of those strings and pull them and get me acting contrary to divine order. And when we act and live contrary to divine order, we are now not in agreement with the Father, but we are in agreement with a demon. Not consciously, but that's what's happening behind the scenes. You know why America's in a mess? Because most of us don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. Come on. Our education system has been hijacked by people who have an agenda that is contrary to the Word of God. I asked the other night, I asked a question. I wasn't really looking for the answer. Do you know how many genders there are? And in the world, they're now saying, I think there's 72 genders. 72, okay? 72. And I had two guys, I think it was Jake and Mike. I said, you know how many genders there are now? The world is messed up. You know how many genders there are? And both of them shouted, two! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. They messed up my point, but hey, they're right. Listen, we have been educated by the world, and we don't realize that we carry over principles from the world that are similar but different to the principles of God. And they make trouble in the church. Aside from the church, let's get back to you. They will make trouble in your life because your left leg will be acting contrary to the kingdom of God. So you're trying to stay in flow with the kingdom of God, but your left leg is constantly acting contrary to the flow of divine order. You ain't going to get very far. It's going to wear you down. And so we need to be taught like this. We need to understand. We need to filter everything we've ever been taught. I've done sales courses, management courses. I've lived in the world. I've worked in the world. I wasn't behind a pulpit the day I was born. And I've had to take everything that works out there and that I've been trained and line it up with God's word. Is this a Jesus principle or not? I don't care if I could make $10,000 more at the end of the year. If it doesn't line up with God's heart, but that'll get me the money, guess what? I don't need the money. If the money is that important, I'm living for my soul. And if I'm living for my soul, demons can have access to me and they can manipulate me, chew me up, and spew me out. And so I'm going to live for my spirit, because I want to be in agreement with my Father's heart. Amen. Somebody give me an amen. Come on. I'm going to close with a short story. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. Before God changed their names, it was Abram and Sarai. God changed their names. He talked to them. He said, I'm going to call you Abraham because that means you will be the father of many nations. And your wife, I'm going to use her too. And you and her, I'm going to change her name and she will be Sarah, mother of many nations. Now the Bible says that Sarah was barren from her childhood. The Bible also says she was a stunning woman to look at. The Bible says that. Now, during their journey together, they're holding on to this promise. Sarah calls Abraham, father of many nations. Every time she says, Abraham, you ready for dinner? In effect, that name literally means, father of many nations, are you ready for dinner? And he says, mother of many nations, I'm ready. And they're constantly calling each other by their prophetic destiny. Watch. They came into agreement with the will of God. Stay with me. They came into agreement with the will of God, and they allowed their names to be changed, and prophetically, they called themselves according to God's destiny for their lives. So the story goes on. Abraham, God tells him he's going to give him this massive land, but his descendants will get it 400 years down the road, yada, yada. And as they're journeying through, a king in a local region sees Abraham's wife and thinks, that's a really hot-looking lady. I mean, she's nice. And he says to Abraham, hey, who's this lady? She's nice. I wouldn't mind having her as one of my wives. This is in the Bible. The Bible is very honest. And Abraham cowered. Abraham cowered. He wasn't living from his spirit. He cowered and he said, she's my sister. And the king took her. Before the king could really take her, God appeared to the king and let him know that was Abraham's wife. And the king was angry at Abraham, and so he should be. Abraham made a bonehead decision because he was living from his soul, and in your soul is where you have inferiority. In your soul is where we have fear. The fear of man, Proverbs says, the fear of man will be a snare. And so many times, whether we're teenagers in school or in college or just in life, we succumb to peer pressure. Listen, the whole reason of peer pressure is a concept that came out of the belly of hell, because the fear of man is a trap. When you do things because you're afraid of what someone else will think, the devil has already got you in a trap. Why? Because you're living from your soul. Inferiority is in your soul. And so here's Abraham, afraid of the consequences. He might take my head off because he'll want my wife, so I'll tell him it's my sister. Anyway, God's going to do the promise through me. Not a good idea. All the ladies, turn to your husband and say, not a good idea. Okay? Do you know that God rescues Sarah, no thanks to Abraham? Abraham was righteous by faith, just like you and I. We're righteous by faith. I don't get it right all the time, but because I've trusted Jesus and I'm letting him work on my silly attitudes, I am righteous by faith. Everybody say, I am righteous by faith. But there's no doubting, there's no excusing, there's no hiding the fact Abraham did not act like a man of God. He didn't act like a son of God. He was responding out of his soul. Do you know that after God rescued his wife, he did it again? Another king. Did I tell you that Sarah was really good looking? Another king said, hey, that lady in your company there is pretty sweet and fine. I wouldn't mind adding her to my collection. And Abraham said, it's my sister. Twice. Listen, you will make bad decisions when you live from your soul and you live from your body. In your soul is where we're broken. In our soul is where we have a sinful nature. In our soul is where demons have access to us. They do not have access to your spirit. And if we live from our soul, we're putty in the devil's hand. But if we live from our spirit, we're a battle axe in God's hand. Amen. Come on. All right. So what happens? Sarah is now aging, and so is Abraham. And so she's barren all this time. Her husband's rejected her majorly twice. I don't know what her childhood was like. The Bible doesn't give us a window into that. But I could assure you, Dr. Paul, that just these two horrendous circumstances where she gets carried off by a foreign king because her husband doesn't want to die, would you agree that would categorize or register as possible post-traumatic syndrome? I mean, that would be horrendous. Horrendous. So I don't know what happened in the childhood, but the Bible tells us what happened during her married life. He didn't add value to her. He took value away from her. This is God's daughter. So here she is. She's aged. Her body hasn't responded from when she was a young woman. And now she's past the age of reproducing. Plus, she has all these emotional scars and wounds in her soul, thanks to her husband, okay? And so one day she says to Abraham, father of many nations, I don't really believe I'm Sarah, the mother of many nations. And she started to talk from her soul, from the mind of her intellect. I couldn't have a child before. I'm past that age now. And she started to talk from the mind of her emotions. He's more important than me anyway. God never said that. Ladies, God never said that. This was Abraham's mistake. God never said that. I'm not as important as him anyway. And you know what? I'm just a handmaiden. I'm no one special. And Sarah stopped believing in her prophetic destiny and started to reason and speak from her soul. When we live from our soul and we reason and speak from our soul, we will separate ourselves from our prophetic destiny in God. That's good teaching. It's good teaching. And so Sarah says to Abraham, while her name is still Sarah, mother of many nations, she says, Abraham, father of many nations, my maidservant here, Hagar, sleep with her, and God will fulfill the promise. She got to a place where she was so beat up emotionally. Her body was lying to her. She could either believe the promise of God or believe her body. She believed her body. It's the same with healing. We believe what our body tells us, not what the Word of God says. And so Sarah was listening to her body. I'm old. I got wrinkles. Things are drooping. I'm not what I used to be. Abraham, here's Hagar. She's young. I don't believe in my destiny. I don't believe what God said about me. She didn't say all that, but she did. She said, Abraham, sleep with Hagar. Abraham, from his soul, the mind of his intellect, well, I am the father of many nations. This has got to happen. It was really important that I sold her out because I'm the one who has to live. From the mind of his emotions, he said, she couldn't have babies when she was younger. And now she's past the age. Emotionally, I really want this heir. I've been believing for years that I would have this son. And that out of him would come a great people. I don't want to miss my opportunity. Mind of his emotions. And he looks at Hagar. Remember in the Garden of Eden when the enemy presented the fruit to Eve? It says in the Bible, and it was pleasing to the eye. He looks at Hagar, and emotionally, it became pleasing to the eye, and the body said, whoa, man. That is a nice woman. And his soul and his body was quick to come out of agreement with the promise of God and come into agreement with demons. And so in his emotions and in his mind, in his soul, he reasoned, well, she said I could. She gave me permission. Hang on a second. God never gave him permission. God said, through you and Sarah, you're the father of many nations. She's the mother of many nations. God never gave him permission. Women, take a deep breath. God loves you and you're just as important. It took the same amount of blood of Jesus to rescue you and save you as it did for any man on planet Earth.
Amen.
Amen. And Abraham reasoned from the mind of his intellect and the mind of his emotions. And he went to bed with Hagar. And she gave him a son called Ishmael. Now, for those of you that are younger in the Lord, you don't know as many Bible stories, so let me quickly give you a synopsis here. Ishmael became the forefather or the great-great-great-great-granddaddy of every Arab nation. Abraham went on and had a child with Sarah, and out of that child, Isaac, out of that child came 12 Hebrew tribes, from which we have the nation of Israel. For 2,000 years, what Abraham did out of his soul and out of his body has been warring with his prophetic destiny. The devil wants you to live out of your soul and out of your body because he can mess with your prophetic destiny. God wants you to live out of your spirit because he does have a prophetic destiny for you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And we can get sidetracked and we can make mistakes, But if we repent and get back in a divine order, God knows how to bring everything back into order. Somebody say amen. Amen. Sarah believed the negative information in her mind of her intellect and in the mind of her emotions. Because her body was speaking contrary to the promises of God, her mind of her intellect and the mind of her emotions came into agreement. She didn't follow her spirit and obey the promises of God. She listened to her wounded soul and broken body and nearly forfeited her miracle and her destiny. Abraham listened to his soul, the mind of his intellect, let him believe he was more important than Sarai. Therefore, God only needed him to fulfill the promise. The mind of his intellect therefore concluded, well, Sarah has always been barren, and now she's too old. The mind of his emotions came into agreement, took pride in the fact that he was more important than Sarah, and he could have two for the price of one. His body also came into agreement and saw it was pleasing to the eye and good for pleasure. Now watch, this last one is important. Because Abraham didn't submit to his spirit and hold on to the promise God gave to him and Sarah, he gave seed to create his own Ishmael. When you live out of your soul and your body, you will give birth to things that will be a thorn in your flesh all of your life. Next screen. When you don't live by your spirit and the spirit of God, your soul and your body will conspire together and you will give seed to your own Ishmael. Good preaching, Pastor Ron. Now listen, I'll tell you why I say good preaching, Pastor Ron. I'll be the first one to tell you. I really don't take the credit. I know that God has given me a gift of revelation. I sought it when I was younger. His spirit told me to start fasting and praying for revelation. All my life I've preached things I've never heard, but God reveals it in the Word. So I'm not patting myself on the back. I do give honor to the gift that God has put on my life. I begged God in prayer and fasting for several years as a young man, knowing one day I'd be a pastor. I said, God, I don't want to preach sermons. Show me principles in your word so I can teach people principles so that they live set free. So that's why I say good preaching. I'm giving honor to the Lord. But look at me. These are God words today. This series is, Father, not my will, not my way. Your will, your way be done. Everyone listen, listen, listen. Abraham said yes to the will of God, but he screwed it up because he did it his way. And sometimes we say yes to the will of God, but then we do it in our strength. Be patient. Rest in the promise. God's got it. Oh, but this is happening, and that's happening, and he hasn't done anything about this other situation, and if I don't act right now, chill. Chill, or you will kill. Chill, dude. Are you going to kill someone? Might even be yourself. Chill. Relax. God's got it. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's got it. Now turn to somebody else and say, not my will, not my way. God's will and God's way. Come on, stand with me. Amen. Every eye closed, every eye closed. Just stay still. Unless you're a worker, you'll see workers getting in position. Stay still. This is the most important part of the service, please. Unless you're a worker, stay still. If you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, it's the first way that we say, not my will, not my way. I don't care how much you've messed up your life. I do care. But what I'm saying is that doesn't stop you, or it doesn't stop God from loving you. It doesn't stop God from wanting you. It doesn't stop God from wanting to call you a son or a daughter. It doesn't matter how much you've screwed up. What matters is whether or not you wake up. And when we wake up, we step up and we fess up and we say, God, it's my fault. I've made a mistake. I made a lot of them. Jesus, come into my heart. I need you to sort out this demonic disorder in my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins and help me to live following your Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again. Why? Because the spirit of man is shut down until he's born again. You cannot live from your spirit unless you get born again. You will always live from the realm of your soul and the realm of your body until you're born again. And that's the devil's playground. You don't have a shot, not even in hell. But when we come to Jesus, he takes us out of hell into the kingdom of God, and he'll start healing us. And when we allow him to be Lord, we slowly start to come back into divine order, and you'll see the blessings of God on your life. If you have not asked Jesus Christ into your heart, I'm telling you right now, this is absolutely the most important and the most life-transforming, destiny-changing thing you can do. And all you have to do is say yes to Jesus. That's it. There's not 10 rules. Say yes to Jesus and God will do the rest and he'll help you. So with every eye closed, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart, or if you did at some time and you've walked away, now's the time to have a change of mind and walk back. Raise your hand right now while every eye is closed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Others, if you haven't put your hand up yet, come on, put your hand up and say, yes, I want to walk back to Jesus, or yes, I want Jesus in my heart. I'm so proud of you people that have raised your hands. That's awesome. Church, put your hands together for them. I feel on this side, somebody is lingering. I feel like the Spirit of God said on this side, there's someone that Dad wants you. He wants you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You haven't raised your hand yet. Come on, keep your eyes closed, folks. And God's just telling me to linger for a moment. Come on. There's someone on this side, on my left. Who's that person? Raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Okay. If you're watching by live stream, say yes to Jesus. Everyone in this room, everyone, born again, and those of you that just raised your hand, repeat this prayer. This is how we let Jesus come in our heart. It's really simple, because God doesn't need brains to get to your spirit. He just needs obedience, childlike faith. Repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that you love me, even though I've messed up. And you really do care. So I'm here. Jesus Christ, come into my heart today, right here, right now. I receive you, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. And come and live inside of me. Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on that cross instead of me. Thank you. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to talk to my spirit and to lead me by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Today I am your child. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for bringing me here today. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for making me born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, what do you say when someone gives their life to Jesus? Yeah!